Okay, good morning, Chaver. Still in Parak Dalid. I guess we'll start from Daf Hey. Speaking about Lailam of Tohu, Shvias HaKelim, making our way into the Olam HaTikon, the recreation, formation of the broken Kelim. And the Main Afkamina, why there's a shvira and why there could be tikkun. I'm about to give these names, the Kabbalah names, we'll get to them, Mitzvah Hashem. We spoke about the shvira, the lining up of the kelim in a straight formation, which is the seed for shvira. And then that was called chad samcha. And then we had the formation of the segel, which represents a tzura of tikkun. So he writes on Daf Hey, V'asidr hazeh, ha'chadash hazeh, nikra olam ha'tikkun. So this new formation is called tikkun. Shekvar nivru ba'ifen ha'ro'i la'amud aliskai. They've been created in a way to be able to withstand, to be niskayim. Ki olamos ha'koidme nikru amud charivu. The destroyed worlds. And as we explained, they were created with the intention to be destroyed. As the Lashon Chazal is, beside, even before creating them, there's no mistakes by Hashem. What may appear to be a mistake is really a kavana that way. A kavana that way for a specific to'elus, like we saw before, the emergence of Bechira, the emergence of Sarfa Onesh, and our responsibility and our tafkid in this world. Masha'enkin ha'olam hachadash, kfar nivra b'chtei le'eskayim. So when we come into this world of tikkun, it's with the intention that it should last. V'zeh ha'olam ha'tikkun, this world of tikkun, is a very tiny page, nikru b'shem olam ha'brudim. This is called the world of brudim. Kitargum brudim, the word brudim, it's not a common word in the Torah, so we turn to Unklus for the translation. He writes psichen. Now what does psichen mean? Psuchim. It means that it's open. Milaton pitzchu harim rina. That the harim, the mountains, they open their mouths in rina. Omi lashen ifradim. So there's two possibilities in explaining the word brudim. To open, perhaps to be separate. So he explains, Ki olamos shenishbru nikru b'shem olam hanekudim. So he's just kind of passing through these terms. It's very interesting how he does this. The broken worlds are called nekudim, and therefore the worlds of tikkun are called brudim. Shekola es esfila shelo hayustumos biyachad. That all of the Siros were sasam as one. V'loy haya nikr hevdol b'kli l'chaberta rak kamo nekuda. That each keli, before they were destroyed, they were only like an akuda. We're going to give some hesber because the lashon here is confusing to me, and we're going to be misadim mitzvah Hashem something a little bit with more clarity. I just continue reading. Aval ata kfar niftachu v'nesrachu hanakudas. But now they've been opened and have become more rachav, these nakudos. V'nasu kamo asara kelim nefradim, and they become 10 separate unique kelim. Lachein nikru olam habrudim. That's why they're called olam habrudim. Okay, so just to take a step back for a moment, we mentioned before that when it comes to Pnimei Satara, we find very meaningful, deep concepts in unusual places. It's one of the secrets of Pnimei Satara B'chla. And the place where these names of worlds emerge, these sugyas of the Olamas, of Bnei Olamas Machrivan, comes from Pasha we read not so long ago, which is Pasha Sayishlach, Vayetze particularly, the dreams of Yaakov Avinu, the Chalemus of Yaakov Avinu. The Yaakov Avinu, he saw in his dreams these sheep, which were akudim, nekudim, and brudim. Now, from the Ari takes from here, from the deepest oilamas, the creation of world, and he defines them in three stages, called akudim, nekudim, brudim. So we're just going to, again, just gloss over these worlds, explain the b'siyata d'shmaya. Of course, for everything which we talk about, we're not learning Kabbalah, we're just touching upon these concepts, and there are many things which are not explained here, many, many, many pratim which are not explained, but that looking at them in the Shorash will reveal wondrous, amazing things. But it's important to note, just in Pnimis Bechlal and learning Chassidus especially, that there are three worlds which we speak about, which is Akudim, Nekudim, Brudim. What is Akudim? Akudim, of course, comes from the Lashon of the Akedah. Akedah Yitzchak means to bind, a binding together, the binding of Yitzchak. So therefore, the world of Akudim, which is the world before Nekudim, represents a certain Achdus. There's an Achdus in Akudim. Akudim means to bind together, and there's no Shvira in Akudim. There's no Shvira in Akudim. Hashem Yisbarach is satisfied in a certain way with Akudim, that there's no Shvira there, but at the same time, that's not the Tachdus, because Hashem is moving forward. The master plan is not complete. So after all of Akudim, Hashem comes to Nekudim. So the world of Nekudim, as opposed to Akudim, represents separation. A Nekuda is exactly what it sounds like. A Nekuda means the Nekudos. And in fact, the Shvira in this world has a lot of a connection and association to the Nekudos, which we refer to in the Lashon HaKodesh, and the Osios. That's why this world of Nekudim, where there's a Shvira there, it's one of the symbolisms as to why in the Sefer Torah there's no Nekudos. It's fascinating why Osios make it into the Torah, Nekudos don't make it into the Torah. One of the hidden reasons behind that is because the Nekudos have a Shvira. There's a Shvira in the Nekudos. So therefore, a Nekuda is a unique entity. It represents a dot, and it symbolizes that every Keli was to itself, was like a dot to itself. So whereas an Akudim represents Achdus, Nekudim, which is our next world, and I'm sorry if I'm using these terms, I'm a little more familiar with them, I'm passing them through and it sounds a little bit confusing because they do rhyme with each other and they sound similar, but maybe some Chazara will certainly help in it. In this world of Nekudim, whether it's just a Nekuda, that's going to be the world of Shvir. Now we're going to come to Berudim, which is the world of Tikkun, and that's going to be the world that Hashem Yisbarach is satisfied with. So just to take a step back once more, Akudim, which is the world of Achdus, yet not the Tachlis, Nekudim, which is the world of just an Akuda Ba'alma, which is a certain pratiousness, a certain sense of lacking Achdus, and then Berudim is going to be that Shleimus that Hashem Yisbarach is satisfied with. Akudim, Nekudim, Berudim. I just have to swallow this in a simple way. So Akudim, as we said before, represents an Achdus. Now, what could be wrong with an Achdus? And why is the Olam of Nekudim, where it's just an Akudim Ba'alma, so terrible that there's a Shvira there? And what's the To'elus of Brudim, that everything is good? The best way possibly, Lanias Deity, to explain this in a simple way is to speak about one of the Yid Gimel Milas Shatar Nidrashis Behen. In Brisa de Rishma, we say that there's a klal, a prat, and a klal, prat, u klal. There's klals, and then there's pratim. So, of course, the mile of a klal is that it represents many things working together. That's what a klal is. And then there's the prat, which is the individual. And then there's something which is called a merging of klal and prat together, called a klal u prat. There's something about the klal that when it merges together with a pratiousness, when you have that balance between klal and prat, that represents tikkun. And what do we mean by that? If there's a klal, in a way where there's no expression of individuality, that's not called tikkun. That's not called tikkun. If you have 100 kelim, and they all look exactly the same, and they're all the same, then there's no value in that klal. Similarly, if you have a prat, And then you're highlighting the individuality. But within that individuality, there's no working together. There's no sense of achdus. So you have the ingredients to make a good klal, but there's no klal, because everybody's to his own. Each man to himself. So then, therefore, what's the maila? creating something which is davar haniskayim. A davar haniskayim is the ability to merge together a klal and a prat. That each nekuda represents the value to itself, yet is working together to create a higher klal. That's called klal and prat, the merging of klal and prat, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is satisfied with. So therefore, it can be very confusing that you may have, let's say, a large body of achdus, many people coming together for a certain cause. So we spoke about before in previous shiurim that on the surface that may look like a great achdus, they're holding hands together, they have their arms around each other, they're singing Achenu, and everything is great. However, if in the penimius, they're not really just thinking, they're just robots, and they have no expression of individuality, they don't even recognize individuality, then that's not called a real achdus. That's not called achdus. And when there's a pratius, and each person represents his individuality, but because he has individuality, he's not willing to be machnia himself, to humble himself, to work with somebody else, to realize the virtue and the value in somebody else. And that's not called an achdus either. It has to be the coming together of that klal and prat together, that I recognize my individuality, and I'm willing to work together. It's not just a big painting of blue, that's called achdus. That's just blue. That's not achdus. That's just one color, that's called blue. If you have all the colors working together, now it's just not each color by itself, but now they're working together, they're coming together, they're sharing with each other, they're building each other up. This is the Pagam Talmid of Rabbi Akiva. Talmid Rabbi Akiva is also associated with the Almad Charivu, the broken world. That's called the broken world. Why so? Because Chazal say, Shaloyo Nahayu Nogu Kavin Zalazah. They didn't get covered with each other. Meaning they knew that they were each one respectable. Each one was tremendous. Rabbi Akiva, as the master in creating Talmidim, he was able to bring out each Talmud's individuality. If you have a Rebbe who just makes robots, everybody's the same, that's not called a Rebbe. Hey, he just does things his way. He makes everybody like him. Those are just carbon copies. Rabbi Kiva, though, he understood the secret. He's the master of all Torah Shabbat. Rabbi Kiva is the Ish Hasod. Shimon Bar Yochai is the Talmud Rabbi Kiva. Shimon says in the Gemara, everything I have comes from the Torah of Rabbi Kiva. So if you see the Pimius HaTorah of Rabbi Kiva more than anything, you see the Olam HaKudim, which is Rabbi Kiva himself. He didn't break. Right? He was able to rebuild again, which of course represents everything we're speaking about. But we find that the Alma the Chariva, the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva. And then we find that there were some Kalim which were able to rebuild, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, and the Chaveim, they were able to rebuild again and to be able to create a system with withstand, which is our Mishnah, which is our Gemara, which is able to succeed and to last the test of time. But we see in the formation of Torah Shabbat Peh, which we have it, that it goes back to Bikiva, who is the one who was Nichnas Laparadis, Vyatsa B'Shalom, Rabbi Akiva. He entered into the deepest places, Rabbi Akiva. The person who's holding in that pace of pnimius understands what it means to build people with pnimius. Building people with pnimius means not that you're trying to make carbon copies of each other like you. That's nothing. It means to be able to create and to recognize that every person is unique and to bring out those qualities, which is step one, and then to be able to finish off the job and to say, now that each one of you are individuals, come together in a greater achdus. That's what Bikiva was the one, of course, who said, which is the completion of that. Meaning that there's two steps. Creating individuals, and then having them work together, which is the second step. So Bikiva was able to make Gevalda Talmidim. Each person had a covered Bifnei Atzma. But what was the Chisar? They're coming together. Where's the Ava? If you don't have that, then you just have Nekudim. You just have each Prat itself. And then there's going to be a Shvira. When the or comes in, which is the or of Rabbi Akiva, which is the or of the Rabbi, if there's no working, there's no symmetry, there's no kesher in a pnimius way, that's called Amad HaChavivu. Therefore, that's the maila of the Olam HaBrudim. Olam HaBrudim means recognizing individuality, I'm unique, and being able, therefore, to go back and work and to create a cloud together. And each part is extremely essential. Like we find by the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we have Arba Banim sitting at the table. Each one, of course, is unique. The Chacham Rasha Tam Inu Di Alisha. What do we say about the Rasha? He says, So we say to the Rasha, right? Rasha, had you been in Mitzrayim, we never would have left. Kevin Shehefesh Atzmo Min HaTzibur, right? he's koyfer be'ikr. Since he was parish min atzibar, right, he's considered to be a koyfer be'ikr. Koyfer be'ikr is parish min atzibar is a koyfer be'ikr. Why is that such a koyfer be'ikr? Teretz, because one of the ikrim is that you have to know how to work together. If you're just a prat and you're not part of the klal, then you're gone. Forget it. You can't take it. When the light of Mitzrayim comes down, Yitzias Mitzrayim comes down, and you're standing there and you have your hands open and you're willing to take that light, you're broken. You're gone. You can't leave Mitzrayim with that. It's not just because of his hashkafas that he's a Rasha. That's not what the Maggid is highlighting. The Maggid is highlighting it's Mamash Madna. Because he's parish min atzibur, that's why he doesn't leave Mitzrayim. Which means to say that had he been nichel himself in the tzibur, he would have left. He would have left. He would have left. Nadim and Aviyu left. I'm sorry, Dustin and Aviram left. Pilei Plaim, if you take, look at the sugya of Dustin and Aviyu, how they left Mitzrayim, even though they were bigger Shayim, that says they were connected to the Tzibur somehow. But a person who's a Rasha, that he's Parish Atma Lagarme, you may be Gevaldik Gevaldik, but if you don't know how to work, and you're standing there with your arms open, you're broken. Kirish Pirish Atma the Tzibur, if that prod is out in the cloud, then forget about it, you're in the Amma the Chariva. And that's true also about each individual. Not just talking about Sfiros, we're giving Mashalim here to Achdus and Klai Yisrael, but each person, of course, as well. Every person is made out of 10 Sfiros. And he has to find a way that's called Tikkun HaMidos, how to make the Sfiros within myself work together. If there's no Achdus within those Kalim, if I don't find a way to bring that together, then I'm also part of the Amad HaChaviv. And the Torah which I bring down, the Or which I bring down, it may build me, or may bake me. Chazal say that the Torah can either be Samachayim, can either be an elixir of life, or it could be a Samam of Chas V'Shalom. That all depends on the Kalim. We find this a lot when it comes to not just Achdus between Chaverim, which is a mashal which we're using, but also when it comes to Shalom Bayis as well. There's the idea of, the Pasuk says, Chazal tell us, Moshe v'yichidim baisa, that Hashem takes Yechidim, He takes Yechidim and He puts them into a bias. What's the concept of Moshe Yechidim bias? So that He takes Yechidim and puts them into a bias. So by the very fact that a husband and wife, we spoke about this before, that there's a male and a female, by definition, right? That's potential for tremendous friction. Because they're opposites to each other, just by gender, they're opposite. And that means that their whole personality is different and everything which they see things going to be from a different perspective. It's just... Unless it's worked on, it's a recipe for disaster. That's why the first year, many times, in marriages, and this is a very specific hashkafa for Shana Rishona, it's just that it's like an Amal D'Charivu. It's Amal D'Charivu. There's a lot of brokenness, and there's a lot of having to put things together again, ups and downs, and so on and so forth, because it's expected. It's coming together, and it's a merging of worlds, and they collide. The only way to go in, of course, is a certain, that's what Chazal tried to teach us, is that certain hisbatlis one to the next, be able to work together. Because each one, by the definition that there's male and female, means that there's already separation, there's already difference of opinion and understanding of things. On top of that, there's also the fact that they have different personalities. So imagine the trials and the difficulties in that, which is why, of course, the Torah stresses that there's a mitzvah in the Torah of Yisimach HaSishto B'Shana Rishon. The first year, there has to be just a working in the relationship, a building, because it's considered to be not just year one in the marriage of many years, it's considered to be the root year of all marriage. The root year of all the marriage. It's the foundation block. It's the Evan Shasiya of the whole life together, that first year. So therefore it requires a lot of investment. I know, remember when I was a bachar in yeshiva, before I was married, there was a certain very, very stark bachar in one of the yeshivas that he was like learning around the clock, and he would come like for night seder the first year, and the yeshiva would send him home. He would send him home. He says, there's no night seder for you this year. Go take walks, go out, whatever it is. There's no night seder for you this year. Yibamash didn't chap, couldn't chap, but it was the chachma of the Rosh Hashiva to understand that the Torah says b'samach chasisho, it's a year of investment. It's a year of investment. So on top of that, the fact that they're different is that they have different personalities. That's colliding upon collide. So part of the solution and the hatzlacha is that you're trying to make an achdus. You're trying to make an achdus. But it's also the recognition of knowing that you're also yechidim. You're also yechidim. You're not expected to be exactly like each other. You can have different tastes. You can like things different. Right? You try to make achdus work. That's called, there's a certain achdus of a kudim which is taking place. You're just trying to make things beachdus as much as possible. But if you think that you're just going to be mamash alike in everything which you do, then that's not called Olam of Tikkun either. That's also not his kind. That's just called Akudin. That's just, you're just trying to be exactly like each other. Just exactly. It's not awesome. Right? Of course, you have to come together. Although that's called Nakudin, that's going to break. But part of the solution is Mushiv Yechidim, that I recognize that I'm still a Yachid. I'm still a Yachid. I don't have to be exactly like you. Don't have to be exactly like me. That we're still Yechidim. It also means that each person is allowed, of course, a certain sense of life to themselves. It doesn't mean that they're mamish. Of course, the first year is a little bit different. But as husband and wives, as they emerge and as they mature in the relationship, so they recognize it, that they're able to be ba'achdus with each other. But yet, she goes to her things and he goes to his things, and they're able to know that they have individual lives, but they're still working together and they're still one. That balance between knowing how to be a klal, that we're a unified entity, yet we still have that sense of individuality, that we're not trying to squash our individuality. That's called the Olam HaBachdus. That's, by the way, just in passing, why it is that a husband and wife, that there's a first name and there's a last name. Right? Why is there first name and last name? So she takes on his last name. Because the last name represents the klal, and the first name represents the prat. And when they get married, he doesn't say to her, listen, my name is Reuven, I want you now to be called Reuven Stein. Right? It's not going to work. And she said, I can't take your first name. Well, why can't she take his first name? Why she could take his last name? So it says, because the last name represents the achdus between them, represents that they're a klal, that we're a unity, we're one entity. That's what the achdus, that's the achdus of the last name. Okay. But I still need my first name. People still need to know who I am. I'm still a prat. Right? So it's Mr. and Mrs. Jones. So Jones, they're one. But they're still Mr. and Mrs. They have to be separate. So you see, even from the fact that how we're misnaying in the belt, how the Velt makes it, that she takes on his last name, but yet they still retain their first name, so there's this mixture between knowing that the balance of what it means to be a Yachid and also to be a Klal working together. So that's the difference between Nekudim and Brudim. The difference between Nekudim and Brudim, as we're speaking about here, is that Nekudim means when each thing is to itself, that it's just a Prat here, a Prat there, and a Prat there, and they recognize their individuality, but they're not working together, so the Or comes down, boom, everything is broken. To maintain that Or, we need that symmetry, that achdus, in knowing my individuality, yet knowing how also to be one. And they say about the Alter from Slobodka that he was a master at this. The Alter from Slobodka was a master of creating individual, unique Talmidim. That it was very not cookie cutter. The Alter from Slobodka was able to make from the biggest Rosh Hashivas in America, Rav Aaron Cutler, of Rav Huttner, Rav Dov Leibowitz, Yaakov Kamenetsky, right, so many ge'einim which pass through the walls of Slobodka, right, that you would look at them and you would say to them, this is from the same yeshiva. But that was the chachma of the altar, was that he knew how to make each Talmud to bring out the kochos of each Talmud. That's called the Rebbe. Rebbe is not just trying to make everybody in the class the same. And of course, like, the outside dress doesn't mean anything from that. This is, a lot of expression comes from this. This is, let's say you have a yeshiva, just agav. Everybody wears white and black. White and black. That's the modern yeshiva. You have other yeshivas where different colored shirts, everybody can come in different, like this, like that. Is there machlokes between the two yeshivas? No machlokes. Come on. Does this mean anything? This is nothing. This is just levushim. This mom is just levushim. How you dress means from anything. What happens many times is just that it's a representation of a certain hashkafa. In the black and white yeshivas, right, many times what happens is that they focus so much about the klal, about everything being the same, so it represents like that in terms of the way that they dress. And many people who like to dress differently, it's because they don't like this idea of just having klal. They're trying to find a way of self-expression. So they come looking like that. But it means nothing. It means nothing. It really is a representation of what each person is looking for. Each person who feels a sense of individuality, so what he wants to do is feel part of the klal, and he's okay with that. The person who feels like the klal squashing him, so he feels like he needs to stand out a little bit, so he'll dress a little bit differently, but that way of expression is in chitzonius, vas mentos. What is that? Does that represent a difference in chiluk? Like we're different now? This is a different zach now? Different yeshivas? We're learning different things? What does that mean? It's total chitzonius there. You're still brothers, you still love each other. That makes for make any chiluk whatsoever? It's just to a Rebbe, it's just a sign to a Rebbe of what this kid needs. What do you need? You need a certain sense of expression. You need a good Rebbe who can bring that out for you. Then you're going to feel satisfaction. So then as a person thinks that the chitzonius of how he dresses, how he looks, how he makes his payas and his yarmulke, and this is going to make any difference in the world, it's going to leave him even more empty than he was before. Every person needs to know his chiluk in Torah. He needs to know how to be part of a klal, but also to be a prat. This balance is the secret of so many things, which everything is a mashal to this life. And what in their life which can escape the cloud and prat? What escapes cloud and prat? Everything is cloud and prat. It's about bringing it together in a way which has olam and hakim. And that means knowing how to balance the two things. That there's a cloud and a prat. This is called the olam of berudin. This is the olam hatikun. And everything that's a mashal for all tikun comes from this. All tikun is from this one. Okay. Akudim, nekudim, brudim. Let's move on. Vizeha or chadash. So now, we're talking about kelim and or. Right? We're talking about kelim and or. So down comes the or from the oilam of the kudim, and they have their arms open wide, and they try to take in this light. Bang. Kelim shatter. Now Hashem says, time to rebuild. And the rebuilding means going to make kelim, like we spoke about before, kelim which are going to be working together. There's an achdus of a yichud of this klal and prat in the oilam of berudim. And this oilam of berudim, which is the oilam hatikun, so the light which comes down has a name in Kabbalah, and we're going to see how in the chassidish sfarim, pnimis sfarim, how we darshan the name of this light to represent what we're speaking about now. Vizahor HaChadash. Again, he's passing through things which, of course, they need Hezbollah. Vizahor HaChadash. This new light that Hashem is bringing down into this new world, to this world of Berudim, which finally Hashem Yisbarach has been waiting for. Sheyatze b'chtei lasakin es hakelim shenishbaru, which is the world of Tikkun, which is recreation of the kelim in a way that Hashem Yisbarach is satisfied. Nukra b'shem ma HaChadash. The name of the light which comes down is called Ma. Now, why is it called Ma? So, Kabbalah, he tells you why. Ki oirei nimshach mishem havaya b'mili alfin. We're going to come to an entire discussion in later chapters of the different miluye havaya. And there are four primary miluye havaya. What's a miluye? Just to be, for the sake of brevity, I'm sure many of you know. A miluye means when you spell out a letter. So, aleph is represented by the letter Aleph, but Aleph is spelled out Aleph Lamed Pei. That's called a miluy. You're filling in the blanks. You're filling in the missing letters. So when you spell out Havaya in miluyim, so there's different ways to spell out letters Hey and Vav. Hey and Vav are different in that how you spell them out can differ. For example, you can spell Hey, Hey Aleph, or Hey Hey. Okay? Or Hey Yud. And the same thing is true when it comes to Vav, except Vav is a little different. Vav could be Vav Vav, Vav Aleph Vav, or Vav Yud Vav. Right? So if you spell it out with an Aleph, that's called Mili Alfin, because you're being Mamale these letters with an Aleph. It could be Mili Hehin, right? Like a Mili of Hehin. It could be Mili Yudin, spell it out with Yudin. So that's going to make for a difference. So this Shema is a permutation, a mili of Havaya, which is called Alfin. And when you spell out Havaya using Alfin, like you see here in the parentheses, Kazet, right? Yud K, Vav K. Notice the Alfin are being mamalu the Shem Havaya. So together, if you count that up, right? Yud Vav Dalet is 20, Hey Aleph is 6, Vav Aleph Vav is 13, and then Hey Aleph again is 6. So altogether, it's Gematria 45. That's why it's called the Shema. So therefore, in Pnimis HaTorah, when we refer to the Shema, we're referring to a cheshbon of a mili havaya. Right? 45 is a numerical number. It represents the gematria, 45. What is this merames to us in Pnimis? Why is it called Ma? Well, merames, it's teaching us, shehizchachas ha'olamos naseh al yedei b'chinas Ma. That the b'chin of Ma, the concept of Ma, is the secret ingredient for the hizchachas and the success. Shehi anava, that it represents anava. The magic ingredient is anava. Shekol oilam mevatel atzmo lachaveira, right? That every sphira is mevatel itself to the next. Or every oilam is mevatel itself to the next. Va'ayidei zeh, higiyu l'tikun hashlemus. So therefore, like we spoke about before, it's very move on. That each keli, as an akuda, has a sense of individuality. That's not what's lacking. What's lacking is now coming together. That I recognize that you have individuality, I have individuality. That coming together, that is called Ma. That's called Ma. So Ma therefore represents the ingredient amongst the Kelim, but it also represents the Or. It represents the Or. The Or itself, that the Shem Yisbarach brings down into these Kelim, that's called an Or of Ma. So therefore you find in the Sfarim HaKdoshim in the Sfarim HaKadoshim, when you take a look at the Sfarim of the Talmidei Baal Shem, which is not, again, we spoke about this many times, that the difference between, let's say, Musar and the Derech of Chassidus is that Musar is considered to be a Derech and Avodas Hashem, which is built upon the Secha and upon gufni qualities. Whereas the Musar of the Talmidei Baal Shem is built on Pnimius HaTorah. It's built on Pnimius HaTorah. And so therefore, since the works of Talmidei Baal Shem, they come from the place of trying to explain a Mahalach and Tikkun HaMidos from that place of Pnimius HaTorah, so the Sfarim are filled with the Shonas of Pnimius HaTorah, but the Mahalach is built on Pnimius HaTorah. That since the Hashem Yisbarach created the world, he found success in this idea called Ma'an Anava. So therefore, the Talmidei Baal Shem, about more than any Midah, what there is, speak about Anava and Bittul. Because that's the secret ingredient. That's the secret ingredient. And so therefore, this concept of Ma'an, Anava, and Bittul is very much stressed, because that's the secret ingredient in Tikkun Olamos. That's called Ma. He writes, and if you look on the side, he's marchiv a little bit in the sinyan of Ma and another one, why that isn't Sfar. V'yesh ladas, it's good to know, shekol ha'tikun hazeh ha'irak b'ilu ha'nitzaitzin v'hashfarim ha'sheichem lo'isaz ma'chol b'yas ha'aylam. He's going to finish off this chapter with the following thought. Then it's important to know that the tikun, which we're speaking about in the nitzaitzin and the broken pieces, who are shaykh to that zman of Bria Sa'ilam. Vadayin ein zetikun gamar. Okay, what's going on here? So Hashem Yisbarach, he created, like we said before, boina elamos machiva. There was a breaking and then a rebuilding. That means to say that Hashem Yisbarach created a world of Nikudin that was breaking there, and then he said, I'm rebuilding Olam of Rudin. Right? Now, he's just trying to put together now, if Hashem Yisbarach created a world of tikkun, then what's left? Like, isn't the job done? Everything is finished. Hashem made a world of tikkun. Teretz says no. That Hashem Yisbarach, that he invested himself and he began the process of tikkun. He began the process of tikkun. What we do is that we finish the job. So the way that you would say is like this: that Hashem Yisbarach created enough tikkun to get the world going, which is the first six days of creation. Hashem Yisbarach, I'll do that. Right? It just gives us an understanding of what's going on. Right? We talk about the 6 days of Ma'aseh Bereishis in the Torah. Hashem says, that's on me. I'll do the first 6 days. After that, it's on you. It's on you guys. Hashem created Adam. Hashem said to Adam, you need to finish the job. He put him in the gam, and he said, L'avdil l'shamra. I need you to work here. What do you mean, work here? Well, what job needs to be done in the gam? Right? Was he a gardener? So the pshat is that Hashem Yisbarach said, I'm building worlds here. Right? And I made 6 days. I need you to make the rest of the days. Adam was in charge of making days. Each day is considered to be that if you can make a day, it means that you make a day in a way that you make some type of a tikkun. Every day exists because of the tikkun which has to be out of it. And the fact that we go through life and there's new days, and days are, I'm moving forward, and that means that tikkun is taking place every single day. And that's our job. Our job is to continue and to be mamshich the creation of these days, like Hashem Yisbarach did in the beginning. And of course, I think we mentioned this before, it's Hashem Yisbarach is teaching us how a Rebbe teaches the Talmud. Right? Hashem Yisbarach was giving Adam as an example. And he says, I'll start the job and I want you to finish it. We mentioned this before. It's not right for a parent or for a Rebbe to give a child a job unless he's able to demonstrate what's done. Right? Hashem Yisbarach says, look, I created days already. Now I want you to do the same. And he has a living example as to how to create a day. Hashem Yisbarach set the pattern. He taught him by example how to create a day. So he taught Adam HaRishon. He didn't just say, come to the Gan and just, of the Lashamra means, I want you to do what I did. Look what I did. I want you to do the same thing. It's important that visual, that understanding, that there should be a precedent to work with. That's just Aga. But Hashem Yisbarach created a certain tikkun in the beginning of the world. We need to finish the job. V'ay nitzach lezeh, let's finish to the end. Avayde shel kiyum ha-Torah v'ha-mitzvahs b'meshach zman shel har beishanim. And this takes a long time. Torah mitzvahs over the long period of time, thousands of years, b'chdei lahashlim shar chalki ha-nitzaitzin. To finish up the job, the rest of the nitzaitzin and the shibei kelim, shenaflu l'seich ha-klipa, which fell to low places, shemehem yishchiyus ta-klipa b'koyiches hara. The idea by this issue, Yisraeli b'chol yom v'yayim, and by doing our job each and every day, u'b'chol tefila u'tefila, and every davening which we do, especially davening has a chelik in this. Nase birer v'tikun chadash the nitzaitim yuchad mashaych and leisayim al oisat tefila loisat. There are nitzaitim which are shayach to each person, to each day, to each tefila. Everything unique, everything unique. That was the whole world of Nekudin. Nekudin means everything is Bepratius. That's why each tefillah, the Ari is the one who comes to show that the whole avoid of davening is associated with Mitzaytzen. That on the surface it looks like that we're just giving shevach v'idayat Hashem and we're making requests. The Ari Zal has a whole mapech of davening, that a whole achdus and seder of davening, that everything is just about the olamus and the Mitzaytzen. That's what the Ari does, especially davening. When is the job done? That when all the biru is done, that when there's an awakening and an elevation, an elevating of all of the kalim and all the nitzaitin out of the klipa, as kol harisha kula kashan tichla, then there's not going to be any more yinika, that the risha will find its place. It won't hold on anymore to the nitzaitin which gives it life. We're able to come to that. That tikkun. Just an agaf, just for example, we speak about this idea of pratiousness, and that each and every day is unique, and each person is unique. So, I'll just give you as an example, the Rashash in the Siddur, as he breaks down the uniqueness in every single day, and the void of every day. So, we know that every single day, let's say today's, right? This is Vav Tevis, right? I think. So, Vav Tevis is Vav. It's also Teves. It also is a Friday. And it's also the year 5779. Right? So there's many things in the calendar which make up today's date. So each one of these things corresponds to a sphera. So the Rashash goes like this. And he says, so you want to know what type of tikkun you're doing? You want to know what the formula is, how it works out? So he goes like this. He says, so today is a Friday. Okay? So Friday, if we have to break it down into spheres, because the Shrach in Pnim Store is always spheres. So today would be sphere of Yesod. Today is Yesod, right? Because Yesod is a sixth sphere, with Sunday being Chesed, so today is Yesod. So, not only is it a Friday, but it's also the sixth day on the calendar. Okay, so the sixth day on the calendar, the Rashash, the Ari, they break down the month into four parts. Each week is considered to be a part. So it goes like this, that the first week is Chachma, the second week is Bina, and then there's Tiferes, and there's Malchus. We'll speak about these things more in depth. Since the first week, we're still the first week, so you would say about it, you would say that it's what? It's Yesod. But it's Yesod of Chachma. It's Yesod of Chachma. Okay? Yesod of Chachma. Now it's the month. Now, the months also divide into six spheres, because there's 12 months, and so therefore, there's going to be two sixes. There's going to be Chesed Yesod on the right, Chesed Yesod on the left. One is called from the Zachar, one is called from the Nekeva. Right? So right now, from Tishrei until Adar, that's called the Zachar. And so Teves is the fourth month, beginning with Tishrei. So Tishrei is Chesed. And then Gvura is Cheshvan. Right? And Gvura is Cheshvan, which is why Cheshvan is Gvura. So you see that there was the Mabul was there, and so on and so forth. Kislev is Tiferes. And then Teves, which is going to be Netzach. Okay, so where are we now? We're at Yesod of Chachma of Netzach. Right? Of Netzach. And he has some other thing with called Ma'an Ben thing. And then after that, you have to come into the world of Tafshanayin Tes. Right? Tafshanayin Tes. So Tafshanayin Tes also breaks down. But in that, there's four components. There's the 5,779. Each one of those also has its own sphere correspondence. That's called Yesod, the Hod, the Yesod. We're not going to break those down. Yesod, the Hod, the Yesod. So therefore, if you want to know what today is, I lost track already, but we're at Yesod, the Chachma, the Netzach, the Yesod, the Hod, the Yesod. That's where we are. That's a lot of details. That's a lot of pratim. But that's where we are. So that's why one of the things that in the Siddur says in I forget the Lashon which we have. You say in the Korbanos, we say, oh. Where is it? Rabbi Nassan HaBavli Omer in the Ketores, Av Kipas HaYardin Kol Shehu. Even the Tipas HaYardin are Kol Shehu. They even put a little Kol Shehu of Tipas HaYardin in the Ketores. So in the Siddur of Mekubalim, they write here, what's meant kol shehu? So they say like this. Kol shehu means every day you do, like we said before, you do a sphere. That's what we're working on in terms of building of kelim and tzitzit, right? Sounds minuscule. And again, every person has their role in that. So what does it mean, kol shehu? Kol shehu, the Sfarim say like this, that even though every single day you do a kol shehu, a lot of kol shehus, when you put them together, they make something big. Now, in the world of Pnimius, even something tiny is very, very big, right? But in the greater scheme of things, it looks like, this is all I'm doing, this tiny little thing. But the truth is that over time, it becomes a lot. The Chazal say, if you would learn two halachas every single day, you know kol terkula. But it comes from a perspective of, that like a nar wants to do everything all at once. He wants to swallow up all of Torah. He wants to be a millionaire overnight. Everything, that's like the energy and the excitement of a nar, is that he wants to have everything all at once. But a zakin and a chacham, he needs a Rebbe in his life to sit and listen. You want everything? You can't get everything all at once. You need to go slowly. Little by little is the recipe for success. Little by little by little. You can't jump madrigas. You can't have everything all at once. You can win a lot in one night. You can have a Shira Sakelim. That's what we're afraid of, Shira Sakelim. Making good Kelim means knowing how to go little by little and to take in a little bit. Now how to build your Kelim as long as the Or is coming in to build stronger Kelim. So that's why in the beginning of davening, the Ari says here, Rabbi Nassan Habavli Omer, Af Kipas Hayard and Kol Shehu, that even though it seems like it's just a Kol Shehu, a lot of kol shehus make a big thing at the end of the day. But that's how we have to know, that the oilam of the tikkun, of the derech ha-tikkun always means going slowly, but going strong. Slowly and going strong. Because the madrigas are endless. Where are we going already? Right? Everything should be appreciated. Every mahalach should be appreciated and loved and cherished. And just know that each person does his part, but together, we make a very, very strong team. Slacha, have a good chance.